Good evening.
It's a blessing to be gathered together again and to be able to look into God's Word. And in case I miss it or something at the end, I just want to thank you all for your warm welcome and friendship and listening to an old hillbilly from St. Joe share his heart. And my son said, "Is it a friendly church, Dad?" I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "It's a very friendly church." So thank you for being that way and making me feel welcome. And so thank you very much. I was in the car and I pushed in the GPS. I pushed home. It said 30 hours and 15 minutes or something like that. So I'm glad I don't have to drive that tomorrow, but I do plan to fly out tomorrow morning, later tomorrow morning. So take your Bibles for a moment and turn to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. And want to read one verse there. First Corinthians 16:15 says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Asia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Now, the thought that I want us to glean from that is that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We have a lot of addictions in our lives. People have eating addictions. We have alcohol addictions. We have all kinds of addictions, sports addictions, sex addictions, all kinds of different things. But, you know, I am so glad that we as Christians... Oh, just a minute here. Just I got a text here. Yeah, sorry about that. My friend's going to Walmart and she just wanted to tell me about that. But, yeah, I'm so glad that we don't have addictions and that, some people can't come to church unless they can keep up on the score of the Super Bowl. Can you just... Oh, yeah, see that Walmart now looking at shoes. Yeah, just let you know. But, you know, people are addicted to things. And, I mean, some people can't even go to church service without... Oh, just a minute. Oh, yeah, they're leaving now, yeah. I feel sorry for people that are addicted and they don't even realize it, you know. Just a minute. Oh, I see, yeah. Huh. Oh. You know, I'm going to need to take a minute here because I need to text my busybody friends from Thessalonians because, my busybody friends, they're mentioned there in Thessalonians, you know, about being busybodies and everybody else's business. And I got to text them because you know what just came through to me? Brother Fred's son, Pastor Fred from that church down the road, his son fell into fornication. And I need to pass that around to my busybody friends there in Thessalonians there so we can pray about it. I don't know for sure what all it is, but you know as well as I do, if it happens once, it's probably been going on for years. Yeah, and okay, well, and please pray. I put please pray in capital letters because that's what I was really after, you know. And I think people let sports and all kinds of things just a minute. Oh, yeah, it's going around because it's our, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, and I feel sorry for people who have addictions and things, and you know they're just controlled by, they can be controlled by the silliest things, and oh, yeah, oh, you know, Pastor Fred there that I was just talking about, his other friend, his other son, Tom. The Lord used him to bring 10 people to the Lord. You know, sometime when I'm not busy, I should text that around too to some people and let them know that. But I'm pretty busy right now, and so I don't really have time to text that around. But sometime as soon as the, just a minute. Yeah, okay. Yeah, just a little more information on the one that fell into sin. But yeah, I'm just glad anyhow that we're not addicted to anything, okay? And that we don't worship anything but God, you know? And I'm glad about that we're not that way. Well, I think you get my point, don't you? That sometimes we have things in our lives that have control of us a lot more than we want to admit. And I love that verse that they are addicted to the ministry of the saints. That is something that we can be addicted to, is the ministry of the saints. We can give our hearts to the ministry of the saints as much as we want to. And I am so thankful about that tonight, that we can do that. And there is no doubt that there are many things in our life that get our attention. And I was at a church a few years back, and I went into this room, and there was a cartoon on the board there, and I read it, and it showed this young man out on the beach, and he was sitting out there on the beach, you know, getting a tan, and he had a TV playing here, and he had a radio over here, and he had earphones, and he was messing with his phone, and then underneath it said, I just don't seem to hear the voice of God. I just, you know, is God not speaking, or, you know? And so I challenge us tonight in our lives, who and what is speaking into our lives? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. And as I look into Scripture, and as I read the Word of God, there is one thing that has become more and more clear to me, and one of those things that has become more clear, that God loves worship, right? That's why we were created, to worship God. That's one of the reasons, a big reason why we were created. And we can say, this statement I believe is true, that we can choose what we worship, but we cannot choose to not worship. Okay? Now let me say that again. We can choose what we're going to worship or who we're going to worship, but we cannot choose whether we're going to worship or not, because I believe that we were created of God to worship. And we worship, and we worship, and we worship. And so God created that. He put that in us, and mankind has the desire to worship. You know, for some people, that may just be having nothing to do, just sitting on the front porch with lemonade and day after day just watching their life go by. But they worship that idea that they're doing what they want to do. They're worshiping what they want to do. Now, God's plan was, and God's desire is that mankind would worship Him. But if mankind decides not to worship Him, then they're going to worship something else. Okay? And so, here in Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We as human beings, you know, the Bible talks about we are not to curse other people, because We are made in the similitude and in the likeness of God. We're made in the similitude and the likeness of God. And so the Bible talks about us not calling people airheads and different things like that, and fools and different things, and cursing and whatever, because we are as human beings are made in the image and the likeness of God, and we are the only creation of God that has a living soul. Okay? That's why I never, I don't tell my children if their kitty dies that it went to kitty heaven, because it didn't. It's done. I don't tell them that, but it is. People have that, for me to tell my child that, this kitty went to heaven or this doggy went to heaven, that's like saying Santa Claus brought the presents down the chimney last night. It's not true. It's not true. I believe that man has a living soul, and he's the only thing that God created that has a living soul. So mankind, every person, from the moment that they were conceived in the womb, they have a living soul. From the moment that they were united, they have a living soul, and that soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. Okay? And it's either going to spend it in heaven or in hell. And we can do anything else that we want to our bodies. We can live any way we want to. We can take our life. We can kill our body. But the moment that we are conceived, we have a soul that we can never get rid of. It'll live forever somewhere. And so, as I think about that, turn with me to Romans, all right? Romans chapter 1. And we want to look a little bit here at what the Bible says about worship. I told you that we were created to worship, and I believe we was, and that we are, and we always will be. And one thing that I've come to understand a little bit more is that the more that we worship God, the less we worship of ourselves. Does that make sense tonight? The more that I worship God, the less I worship myself. That's why sometimes it's so hard for us, and sometimes so hard for us as men. This happens in Indiana, and I believe it happens in Idaho too. That, sometimes when God dynamically uses my brother, it's just a little bit hard to acknowledge that God has dynamically used my brother. Because I want a little bit of worship. I want a little bit of praise. You see, when I worship God, I worship Him for who He is. He's God. He's the Creator. Now let's read here in Romans, all right? In verse 25, it says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever." And we don't have a lot of time tonight to spend in this passage, but this passage is a picture of people today. This passage is a picture of America today. It's a picture of professing Christianity in America today. We are not worshiping God for who He is. God does not have all of our worship. Okay? We have a lot of other things. And here it says, "Who changed the truth of God." Well, in verse 24, let's read that with it. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them over to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into what is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met." And it goes on and on. And then in 31, when 32 it says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I want to challenge you tonight, brothers and sisters. It's not enough to refrain from unrighteousness. If we take glory and enjoyment out of others' unrighteousness, the Bible calls that sin. Does that make sense tonight? I'm just going to be a little bit blunt because, you know, we're used to being kind of blunt. But, you know, that means things like, if I take enjoyment out of other people, watching other people make love, I'm partaking of it. If I take enjoyment of other people's lewdness, I'm taking part in that. I'm taking pleasure in them that do wickedness. If I enjoy being around people who are crooked or I encourage whatever it is, I encourage that. I'm taking pleasure in that. And the Bible says that they change the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve, and the King James here says creature. I think some places would translate that creation. Okay? So in Romans 1:25 here, it says that they worship the creation of the world more than God. And that means I am the creation of God, so I can worship myself. The trees are the creation of God. The dogs are the creation of God. Whatever, you know, all animals, the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the whatever it might be. It says that they will worship those things more than God. That's why we have school teachers today that take their classes out to the woods and they hug trees. Okay? Because they love the creation more than the creator of God. They're worshiping the creation more than the creator of God. That's why people treat their pets, their dogs, their cats better than their children, because they love them more than the creation of God, who is someone who is created in the image of God. You know, a couple years back or so, we did a job in a veterinary clinic, and I was about sick till we got out of there. I'm not against having a pet. Don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to have a pet. But, you know, we live in a time that, you know, I was at the gas station the other day, and maybe you do this, but I think it's sick, okay? But I was at the gas station the other day. I looked over there, and there was a well-to-do lady over there, and she got back in her car, and that dog came up there, and, boy, she just licking and I'm like, ugh. You know what my dad would have said? If the church wanted them to do that, they wouldn't do it. That's what he would have said. We was at this vet clinic, and, oh, I mean, they talk to those animals, and they're probably nicer than they talk to their husband or their wife when they get home or their children. I mean, it's like, you know, whatever their names was, you know. I can't even think of one right now, but, oh, they were just talking to him like, Daddy's going to be back pretty soon. Mommy's coming to pick you up. We're going to get you a snack after a little while. And the one guy even said, I've got a doggie at home. She would like to be your girlfriend. And I was just like, ugh. You know, but they worship and they serve the creature more than the creator. They worship themselves. They worship their bodies. They worship their money. They worship their position. We have people today in churches, in professing America, who worship the position that they have more than God. They won't say certain things because they worship their position more than God. You know, there's been a big push for family, and there's no one here tonight that probably has a better, there's no one here that has a greater desire to have family life and an awesome relationship. I'm for all of that. But we must remember that God is first. God is first. God will not change His word to fit my children's lives. Okay? My children must change their lives to fit His word. Never forget that. Never forget that. We can't say, well, you know, I've seen it time and time again, that we worship our children more than God. It's not right. It doesn't mean that we treat them as heathen. It doesn't mean, no, absolutely not. We treat them with the love of Christ. You know, my child is my child regardless of what he does, but it doesn't mean I have to okay what he's doing is okay. Does that make sense? I have four sons and daughters. I always have four sons and a daughter as long as I live and they live. It doesn't take away what they do, but it doesn't make him eternal secure inside the Word of God just because they're my son or my daughter and I say that that's okay. No, it doesn't do that. So we have a lot of things that we can worship today. Okay, turn to Psalms 95, verse 6. David said this. He said, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pastures, and the sheep of His hands. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. And it goes on and talks about that. But David says, O come, let us worship. Well, I'm not for sure. I think David wrote this one. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pastures. I want to ask you a question tonight. What's the number one person in your life that you worship tonight? Is it God? Is it what's in your pocket? I flipped the radio on when I was driving out here from the airport, and I was a Protestant preacher of some sort preaching, and he had some good things to say. He was preaching on what is your God in your life, and he mentioned what I mentioned tonight. He said, is that your God? And he mentioned a list of things, you know. What is your God? Is it the world? Is it yourself? Is it money? Is it your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your wife, your children, your car, your business, whatever it is? What or who am I worshiping? And I believe that that is so important. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in what? In spirit and in truth. It also says that they worship me with their mouth, but their heart and their lips, but their heart is so far from me. You know, and we say, well, you know, that's those people that get together and they have the praise and worship band and they go all wild on the stage. Well, if they're not doing that, it very easily could be that. But sometimes could we come here and just sit like a bump on a log and not be worshiping God either? This means yes, this means no. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can come to church and we can be thinking, wow, how am I going to pull off that business deal next week? And how can I whatever? And boy, last week was really busy. I didn't have much time for God, but you know, next week ain't working real good either. But you know, after that, I think it's going to probably get a little better. And I have a pastor friend up around Goshen, and I heard him say one time that he said when he was in school, I'm not sure how old he is. He's probably mid-50s. I don't know. He said when he was in school, He said they said that by the year 2000 or something like that, with the way technology is, people are just going to have all kinds of time. Well, they still have the same amount of time as they did back then. They have 24 hours in a day, you know. But has all your convenience just made you have more time? I mean, now that you can make all your calls while you're going down the road and you can, you know, do this and do that and you know, has it, you know, it seems like we should have more time. I mean, we don't have to take the washing out to the washboard anymore and wash it, you know, and we don't have to hang it in the line. We can just throw, well, I shouldn't say just, because I'm amazed at how much time my wife spends in the laundry room. But anyhow, you know, we can just throw it in the laundry and you know, turn it on, and then we put it over in the dryer, and nothing wrong with that, I'm just saying. And, you know, we don't have to go out and chop the wood and start a fire and make supper. I mean, we can, you know, we can put it in the oven, and, you know, we have all these conveniences. We have electricity, and we can make our calls on the go, and you know, we don't have to hammer our nails. I mean, just thing after thing after thing, not necessarily anything wrong with them. Just all kinds of time-saving devices. And yet the number one thing I hear people say almost is we are. Especially if you have to work something in for the Lord. You know, we become really busy then. So, oh, man, well, this is just a tough week for me. You know, yeah. What are we worshiping? I believe that what we worship in this life is what we will be worshiping in eternity. Is that a safe statement? Or it will determine where we spend eternity, right? If I'm worshiping God in eternity, if I'm worshiping God now, I'm going to be worshiping God in eternity. If I'm worshiping the things of this world, I'm afraid that I won't be worshiping God in eternity. I want to share something with you here just a little bit. And, you know, when I speak on some of these things, it's some of the most difficult things sometimes probably that I preach on. I want to challenge you just a little bit tonight. I want to challenge you just a little bit when it comes to eschatology. I don't understand the scriptures a lot. Or not a lot. I enjoy studying eschatology. Sometimes I wish I could take 10 men. I've thought about this. I wish sometimes I could take 10 men that have not been taught any view of how the end times are going to be and take them and... Five of them are saved. Five of them don't know God. Okay? Five of them have just come to know God. Five of them don't know God. And say, here, I want you to sit down and read the scripture. I want you to read it through about 10 times. I don't want you to talk to anybody about it. I don't want you to read any other books. And I want you to come back and tell me what you found out about eschatology. Eschatology is end time prophecies in the scripture. But I don't know 10 guys that I can ask that to do that, because we've all been kind of taught and trained and well, this is what that means and this is what's spiritualized and this isn't and this is. And, you know, I think that on a lot of those things, it's not a real big issue. I have some opinions, and I'm not even going to necessarily tell you, I have some opinions that don't fit in the all camp, and I have some opinions that don't fit in the pre camp, and I'm not here tonight to try to convince you one way or the other. But God has laid over the last, over the last few years, God has laid it on my heart to share what I'm going to share with you a little bit. And there's times that I do a whole message on this, but that's not my plan tonight. But I think that there are a lot of things in there that I don't think it's heaven or hell, okay? I don't think that whether you think the trumpet's going to sound and that's the end, or if the church is going to be taken out and then after that there's a tribulation, and you know, I think we can talk about those things and have different views on those things, and I'm not going to argue with them, because to be honest with you, I've never ran into anybody yet, and I never will on this earth, that has it all right. The alls are going to have some prizes, the pre's are going to have some surprises, and the pans are too. You know, it's going to pan out. We're all going to have some surprises. And to be honest with you, I can't even tell you for sure what all's in each group, and I could come close probably, but there's something that has been a burden on my heart and on my wife's heart, and I believe that brothers who have went before us, okay, I believe that they have tried to do well and look at the scripture and understand it. But I also think that today we have more prophecies fulfilled than back there. And so I think we have to be careful that we don't have a view that this is how it is and that's not going to be and this is right. And because, you see, that's what they had when Jesus came the first time. They had a view. They had a view. And the scholars and the people, they said, we have it figured out. This is not the Christ. Was it? Okay? They were dogmatic. This is not the Christ. We've studied it out. We know. That was a heaven or hell issue. That was a heaven or hell issue, because today they're still saying that's not the Christ. For them, that was a heaven and hell issue. Would it have been a heaven and hell issue if they thought he would have been born outside of Bethlehem, or maybe inside of Bethlehem, or 7 days later? No. I don't think that would have been. Okay? Would it have been a salvation issue if they would have believed that his ministry would have been 3.5 years possibly instead of 3? No. Not unless when it was proven that it wasn't, that they would have demanded. No, I mean, those types of things, you know, they're very interesting. And one thing that I have wrestled with is that when I talk to the all side, they got it from Scripture. And when I talk to the pre side, they got it from Scripture. Okay? So there's 1,000 books over here that the alls wrote that they went strictly to the Scripture, and this is the point that they came out with, and they pretty much have the same points. And then over here you have 1,000 of the pre's, and they all went to the Scripture and only looked at the Scripture, and they come up with almost the exact same thing of only looking at the Scripture and have the basic same 10, 12 points, kind of. I'm not here to, I'm here to say that there's probably some things wrong in both sides and some things that's right in both sides. But the burden of my heart tonight is, and you may disagree with me, but I feel like I have to, I feel like God has laid this burden on my heart that I need to tell people. It really is not a huge deal to me which camp you are in. But there's something that, to me, that over the years that we have said for years that people have said for years, let's put it that way, that that's nothing. And I cringe when I see people kind of scoff and smirk and this type of thing. But I'm just going to say this, and I don't have all the answers. If I'm wrong on this, when I see that I'm wrong on this by whatever, I will gladly say that is not right. But tonight, I want to go on record as telling you that I don't believe, as what I see right now, I do not feel that we can spiritualize the mark of the beast. I believe that. And I have a strong enough conviction on that that I would be willing to die for it. I have prayed about this thing. I've had a dream or two about it. And you know, I have pre-friends that will disagree with me. I have all friends that will disagree with me. But here's the point that I'm saying. How can it not be happening right before our eyes more clear than it is right now? We can say, I don't think it'll ever be an issue. It's an issue, and we're going to face it real close unless the Lord takes us home. Because they're already playing with it that you need to take something to buy or sell. And I know this is the thought of it, okay? And I understand this. I can understand how you can go to Scripture and say, we're all going to be together until the end. I can understand where you can go to Scripture and get some verses that say that you're going to be taken out beforehand. And I understand that, and I'm not here to dispute this tonight. But I don't know where I can go to Scripture and say that that's not going to come to pass. I don't know that. I'm not aware of that. And here's one of the things that we say, okay? And I've heard this. I hear people that'll jump up. I have people that'll jump up and down and say, hey, man, that's right. I'll hear other people say, whatever. You know, so, I ain't going to change, you know, my conviction on this at this point unless I can see a change of this because it's so clear to me. To me, to say that these things aren't coming to pass is like saying, you know, the Bible talks about homosexuality, but I don't think it's real prevalent. You'd say, what? You know, or people say, I mean, it talks about immorality in the end, but, you know, I just don't think it's really ever going to be an issue. It's just, you know. Well, I see these types of things coming fulfilled, this specific thing. I'm not here to try to change your mind on your belief. But here's some comments that I have heard about this, okay? Well, you know, my great-grandpa thought that when you got a Social Security number that was the mark of the beast. Maybe he did. Okay? And then, you know, when we went to the checks, you know, that kind of whatever. I remember as a young lad when they started putting those barcodes on there, and people said, boy, look at those sixes in there. Look at those sixes in there. Then now we have moved on farther. So now we have a chip in our phone. We have a chip in our credit card, right? I met with a pastor friend a while back for breakfast, and I asked him this question. I said, when do we have to say no? And I didn't know what he would say because his father-in-law was all in all. I mean, he was in all. And I said, brother, I said, when do we have to stop with some of these things? You know what he told me? I was impressed. That he didn't just say, oh, well, that's never going to come to pass. But he said, I believe that when they ask us to put it on our body, we have to say no. I don't know how all that's going to be. And I can't tell you tonight that that's exactly how it's going to be. There's no one here tonight that can tell you that's not going to be. And I don't believe there's any, and I can't tell you here tonight that that's absolutely how it's going to be. But I do want to go on the record because, see, I'm going to give an account to God someday for what I told you. And I want to go on account, I want to go on record before God as having said here tonight that I do not believe, according to the Word of God, that we can take a mark upon our body to buy or sell. Period. I don't want a book to read about it. When I realize that this book says it different, then, you know, that there's so many differing opinions on that, but it is so prevalent and it is so right upon us that anymore I can't just say, oh, well, I don't see how we can honestly say that it's not coming to that. You know, we can say, well, yeah, my grandpa said that, and they said this, and they said this, and I had an Anabaptist brother tell me, well, some of these things, if we just use them to buy or sell, wouldn't that be all right? I said, that's funny. That's what Scripture says we can't use it for. I'm just saying, let's not be so certain that what I have been taught or what I have said, and I tell you what, if 2 years from now this is not what it is, I will gladly say, that's not how it is. Gladly. But I believe for me to tell people you do not have to worry about that, that is, you just spiritualize that. That has nothing to do with your Christianity. And if I'm wrong, that's a heaven or hell issue. But if I tell them, you know, I feel that it's really very possible that this could happen, and I think we should be, at best, extremely careful with this. And they are, and it wasn't. What do I lose? It's not a heaven or hell issue, I don't believe. And so, my conviction is, and I have made this vow before God, that by His grace, unless things really change and this looks a lot different than it is, I will not take a mark upon my body to buy or sell. And, you know, I know people say, well, it's not gonna just be that clear. It's not that clear. See, we've been being conditioned for years. We've been being conditioned and brought into this thing. Because people are saying, even now already saying, well, we can't do business without this. That's what Revelation says that you won't be able to do. And it says that you will worship the beast first, and then you will take its mark. And if I'm understanding that wrong, then whatever. But you read Revelation 13 and 14, and it's what it says. And I don't know that we just have the authority to say, well, I understand. Some of it's spiritualized and some of it isn't. But with what I see that's happening right now, I don't know how we can deny the fact that it's not leading up to that when they're already trying it out. They're already putting chips in animals and they can control those animals. And we scoff and we say, ah. I'm not going to scoff by the grace of God. I'm not going to tell people that don't worry about it. Stubbornness won't take us through either. Stubbornness kept them from seeing Jesus Christ because this isn't Him. We've studied this out. Read this! Hey, I love studying, and I don't have all the answers, okay? And I love talking about end-time things. I love it. In fact, I have to be careful that I don't go on too much about it. But I'm just saying tonight that is a burden on my heart, and it drives a knife through my heart when I hear Anabaptist people tell people that it's not a big deal. I don't think we have authority to say that, according to Scripture. I'm not saying that's exactly how it's going to be, but I don't think we do. And I understand too that even as far as soon as 10, 15, 20 years ago, it would have seemed a lot more like, yeah, that's not really possible. But as more and more prophecies come fulfilled, it does appear like that could be very possible. And maybe 5 years from now, if we're still here and I'm still here, maybe with more prophecy I'll be able to say, that wasn't it. I don't think that's going to happen. But it could, and I want to be open to that. You see, I don't want to be like they were in Jesus' day and say, that isn't the Christ, don't worry about it, go home, enjoy life. It's not Christ. No. I want to be open, and I want to be teachable, and I want to realize that I may have misunderstood something. And I may be misunderstanding right now. I don't believe that the dear Anabaptist brothers who have went before us and said one way or the other, I don't believe that they were trying to deceive us. No. But I believe as more and more prophecy comes fulfilled, sometimes we have to adjust a little bit maybe and say, well, that looks like that could be a possibility. I don't know how I would ever do this, but I would love to take 100 guys and tell them to read Scripture and read prophecy and have them tell me then, what things do you see that are prevalent today in society? And I bet you that would come up in almost 100% of them if they had no other direction. Brothers and sisters tonight, I don't have all the answers on that. But it is a real burden on my heart because I believe we're being a little careless with it. I really do. If I'm convinced in my mind that there's nothing to do with that, I'm going to take it. And you know, it's not going to make any difference what I thought. What's going to make the difference is what it was. It's not what I thought or what somebody else thought, but it's what God said and what God meant it to be. And I don't have all that answer tonight, but I want to leave that challenge with you. Take your Bibles now and turn. We're not going to. I want to go to what I think. I said earlier, well, I don't know if I said this earlier or not, but I believe that from the beginning of Scripture until the end is worship, okay? David worshipped. You know, it was amazing. His three mighty men, they broke through. They broke through the army, and they got that water for David, and they brought it back to him. And it says that David just poured it out on the ground for a sacrifice for worship of God. Time after time, Noah comes out of the ark. What does he do? He worships. The children of Israel, this and that, they worship. Jacob has that ladder to heaven. He gets up. He worships. He offers a sacrifice. The Bible is full of worship. And I love Revelation chapter 5. Turn there with me. Because I believe that this is the ultimate worship that we as believers are going to see. Revelation chapter 5. In 4 it's talking about, in 4 it's talking about them praising God, the Father, I believe. I believe 4 appears to be more of worship of God. And then I believe in 5, it's more of the worship of Christ. And it says this in chapter 5, verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne under the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, of the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, let's say this together, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Let's say those four words again. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. All right? I'll go ahead and read the last two verses. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. I believe that all through Scripture, worship. We were created to worship. Revelation ends with worship. Well, it talks about worship. And I love this scene here. It seems like John had a vision here. I don't understand what all he saw. But it says, kind of interesting, that it says that there was this book, and I believe that book possibly was the book of redemption, all right, of our salvation. And it says that there was no one there worthy to open the book. And John said, I began to weep, and I began to cry. But he said, the angel, or whatever, he said unto me, he said, don't cry. He said, we have found someone who is worthy to open the book. And Jesus Christ came upon the scene, okay? And I love that thought that he walks up to that throne and he takes that scroll, that book, whatever you want to call it. I believe it has to do with redemption and the plan of salvation and these different things. I believe that's what that is, and that's what I'm looking at it tonight as. And I love that thought that he had the power and the authority. He was the one that was worthy to do that. And John says it was as a lamb that was slain. And I tend to believe that we're going to see the marks on Jesus, on Christ's body, because in this vision, John's seen that as a lamb that was slain. I could be wrong on that, but it's okay. It's not whatever. But it says as a lamb that was slain, and he says he was as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And that means tonight, brothers and sisters, that the lion is the king of the jungle, we say today, okay? He is the king of the jungle. And when Jesus walked over there and he took that scroll, he had total authority. You see, the first time when Jesus came, he kind of came quiet and few people knew it. And when he went back, it was kind of quiet. Some people seen it and this and that. And he came as a lamb to the slaughter to give his life. But when he returns, however all of that is, when he returns, he is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is going to be in total control of the situation. There will be no questions. There will be no smiting. There will be no pulling out the beard. There will be no putting on crowns of thorns. He's coming back for some as Savior and Lord, and he's coming back as others for a judge. And I love this scene in heaven of people gathering around that throne and singing, praising God. I don't know how it's all going to be. You know, aren't children's thoughts just amazing sometimes? My daughter the other a while back, she said, and I don't mean this disrespectful, okay? It was just a thought that she had. She said, Dad, if we're just going to stand there and worship all the time forever, won't that get kind of boring? What do you tell her? I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be. I said, well, honey, I don't know for sure how all that's going to be, but I said, I can guarantee you this much, you won't be bored. You know, I don't understand all of that. But it's going to be wonderful. Do you know that song, Thou Art Worthy? Let's sing that together. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. I love this verse. And this is how we're going to get to that throne of grace. I don't know exactly how it's all going to be. I don't even know if I'm going to live through the night, but I want to be in God's hands. But I love this verse. It's probably one of it's one of my favorite verses probably from Scripture. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says this, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto the death. How are we going to overcome the wickedness of this world? By the blood of the Lamb. You know, Revelation says, did you know that Revelation tells us 8 times who's going to be in heaven? It does. Let's quickly look at those. Take your Bibles, Revelation chapter 2. Verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches. To him that, what? Will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So who's going to be in heaven? He that, what? Overcometh. Same chapter, verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that shall not be heard of the second death. Who's going to be in glory? He that... That's right. Same chapter, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that... will I give the eat of the hidden man, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Same chapter, verse 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Chapter 3, verse 5. He that the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. 3:12. Him that will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Let's look at some more here. 3:21. To him that will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. Chapter 21, verse 7 is the eighth one. He that shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Isn't that wonderful? Let's say it together. Who's going to be in glory? He that. And how are they? How are we going to do that? By what? That's right. We don't understand it all, but I know that Revelation makes it clear that they that overcome by the blood of the Lamb are going to be there. Let's go back quickly to Revelation chapter 5 again, and as we look at this. I don't want to be wrong here tonight. I don't know. Is it okay if we raise a hand or something? I mean, in worship, is that a problem? Or? Okay. As I think of being around that throne room of God and just worshiping or whatever, I am so looking forward to that time. You know, tomorrow night when I finally fly into Fort Wayne and finally drive into home at 12 o'clock tomorrow night, I'm going to be so glad to be home. But it's going to be nothing compared to that day when I gather with that throne, around the throne with God, and I worship him because he's worthy. I mean, think about it. To little children, there won't be any more ouchies. There won't be any more Band-Aids. There won't be any no more candy. I mean, you know, all those types of things. Yeah, and for us as adults, there won't be any pain, there won't be any church problems, there won't be any suffering. I mean, we'll all have new bodies, we'll, you know, wow. And I love that thought of people gathering around the throne of God and worshiping him. And tonight, I just want us to picture a little bit that this is the throne room of God, and God is on his throne, Christ is there with him, and the saints are worshiping around that throne, and they're praising him, and I don't want you to just come up because someone else does, but the invitation tonight is going to be, and we're going to sing that song, Thou Art Worthy. And the invitation tonight is if we just want to drive our stake deeper in the fact that by the grace of God, I am going to worship God. And I'm going to worship him alone. And by the grace of God, someday, I am going to sing around that throne room of God. If you don't come forward, that doesn't mean that isn't your desire. But I want to give you that opportunity tonight. If you can come up and kneel down, if you want to close your eyes, let's be reverent about it. But if you want to worship just a little bit or whatever, that's okay too. We're going to do that in glory. It's a good time to start it now. And I just want to give that opportunity. I would be glad if you want to, some of you want to come forward and just kneel down and just worship the God of creation, because He is worthy of all of our praise and all of our glory. If you want to, you can come forward. If you just want to stand, if you can kneel down, if you want to stand, I don't care. If you just want to stand where you are, but I think it'd be nice if you could come forward. But I'm just going to, let's just sing that song, and let's just sing it prayerfully tonight, okay? And let's sing it in reverence to God.